Sam Prendergast, the good and the bad?
I think there's been a huge overemphasis on his involvement in the media, or at risk of sounding like Roy Keane. Like, to be a good kicker is his job.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Shamrock Rovers. The hell is going on here? Five games, three wins, two draws. Only two sides have conceded fewer goals. Sorry, one side actually. And only two other teams are unbeaten, which are the top two, Chelsea and Vitória.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. And I think last night as well, their performance overall, like just their link play, their combination play, especially in that first half. You know, I sort of sat back at one point and went, wow, they are on form. And they've only really came into form as they got into Europe. You know, like we saw it at the tail end of the League of Ireland in that title race that they sort of were coming into their own, but, you know, they weren't in form really all season. And now as it's came to Europe and they've had a little bit of a break, not much of a break. Like, obviously, they had a 2 week layoff there after the Rapid Vienna game when they got the draw away, which was another big result. But they look like they're thriving. And yeah, Johnny Kenny up front, he just can't do any wrong. He's really just lit up Europe. You know, I think he's top scorer now in the group.
He's joint top scorer with seven goals, I think, which is extraordinary.
Unbelievable.
So, Johnny, he's on loan from Celtic. And he spoke with our own Nathan Murphy after the show last night. And it's a bit worrying for Shamrock Rovers supporters and Stephen Bradley, I'm sure, is that it looks like it's edging towards a return to his parents' club, Chelsea, rather than remaining at Rovers.
Sounds at Celtic, like it, yeah. Like, I think he's never hid away from that. You know, any interview that I've done with him, like even talking about Europe, he said he's delighted to be playing in Europe for Shamrock Rovers, but he never thought he'd be playing in Europe for this club. You know, he's often said little things like that, and it probably tells you that he wants to be playing at the highest level possible. That's what footballers want, you know. We spoke with Neil Ferrugia last night as well. He's another player that could be similar, that could be heading off in January. And what a pity that would be for this run for Shamrock Rovers, the first Irish team ever to get through to a knockout stages of European competition. But, you know, that's the nature of football. You know, people will move on. But yeah, they've been in serious form to get the moves. That's for sure.
Rovers fans would have been expecting it, I suppose, because every time Stephen Bradley has been asked about it, it's been like, well, we have no say in this. It's up to the father club, Celtic, to make that decision. But it's still very disappointing for them. Two goals and an assist last night, wasn't it?
Two goals and an assist, yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, I wouldn't even look at a disappointment. I mean, you're going to relish what you have right now, which is amazing. But then you have the other side. The other goal scorer, Neil Ferrugia, is out of contract. And Stephen Bradley's also quite open about the fact that a lot of clubs are interested in Ferrugia. So they have this great squad together. Look at the talent on the bench alone last night, actually.
Yeah, like coming off the bench, we're starters.
How did they not win the league? How did they not win a fifth in a row? Like, I mentioned there about the quality of their defence. It's only Ligia Warsaw who have conceded fewer goals.
Wow. Yeah.
We're five games in, you know.
Solid. And that says a lot as well about Leon Poles, the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He only came in this season and you could see at the start of the season, they were unsure. There was uncertainty about him. He had a few tough games. And
a lot of stick as well.
A lot of stick. And that was a lot of the talking points as well. And now that he's really came into his own, that is great for him as a player, the club, and now that the support is really back him as well. But I think defensively, they were just solid. You know, they got it so right.
Mm. Yeah. Any chance against Chelsea?
I think they go in there without a massive pressure on them. Like, I know against Chelsea, there's always pressure, yes. But now they go, having had all these confident performances behind them, they have that momentum built up. Not that they have nothing to lose, because potentially I think if they could get a draw, there's a chance to get into that last 16, you know. Other than that, they're already into the last 24. So, you know, you go in there with a bit of like, let's give this a good rattle here. And Stephen Bradley, he'll have them well set up. Tactically, I think he's got it so right in Europe.
And now we're joined live on the line by the former Shamrock Rovers goalkeeper himself, Barry Murphy. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, how are we?
This is all mad, isn't it?
It's crazy, isn't it? I'm just tawing out from last night, really. But yeah, it's just absolutely incredible to, as Ashing's point made, it's incredible to think where we are now. And maybe there is a bit of that creeping in around the fans, when you look at the kind of atmosphere compared to maybe the game against Vikingur in the qualifying round earlier on, the atmosphere was night and day. But listen, there's a tension around as well where they just want the team to do well. And it was obviously a good side they're coming up against as well. And it's that kind of tension in the background, especially leading up to this game, is just kind of seeped into the match day kind of atmosphere as well. And you could kind of feel that around the crowd in the crowd last night. A lot of the talk amongst the fans was what was going on behind the board, as well as one eye on the game.
Yeah, you don't want that to be the case. Like with the performance very last night, where did that performance rank in terms of Shamrock Rovers' performances, say in the last maybe year or two?
Actually, I think it's the best Irish performance, complete performance in Europe that there has been. I think you look back to maybe Dundalk against Bate is the only one I can think has an equivalent where they beat them 3-0, but that was the kind of hit them on the break kind of game. But last night is a culmination of 4 or 5 years of what Rovers have done in Europe. They've taken their beatings, and they have had beatings, you know, going over to Ferencváros in Hungary, getting beaten 4-0, getting beaten at home, going over to Iceland, losing over there. They've had to take these learnings and bring them into this season. And you can see just from even the early rounds, playing Neil Ferrugia in that inside right role against Sparta, knowing they might have to kind of sacrifice that game, but it was all about the foresight of looking down the line and kind of improving Shamrock Rovers in terms of where they can go in Europe. And it's all culminating in the games now. I've never seen, like, they were so comfortable last night. When have you ever seen an Irish team in Europe like that?
Yeah, playing the type of football they did. Like, I suppose sometimes we're used to park the bus, you know, we're up against these European teams, like, just be happier there, when it was very much Shamrock Rovers going for it. Like, their link play was brilliant and just, you know, creating these chances that we don't always get to see. And it was such a good advertisement for the League of Ireland. I felt like watching last night, I was like, I hope people are seeing this game. Like, you know, it was amazing in that side of things as well.
Yeah, and Stephen and his staff have just come on so much in terms of their tactical nous. He seems to be enjoying it as well. Like, you looked at, I kind of did a little preview before the game of the Banja Luka players, and the two sitting midfielders, one of them's really good going forward, but he's so lazy coming back. And Rovers knew, and Stephen knew, that if they could kind of let him get on the ball, get a counter-attack against him, just so much space for Neil and Darragh Burns to cut inside. And Johnny Kenny was brilliant, as alluded to in the commentary. He drops shorts to pull the centre-halves out, and they don't know what to do and go in with him or not. And then that ball's always on because his pace, he can have 4 yards in you and he still pass you out. And that's really what broke the pace for Rovers in Europe, has been sensational this year. When you've got Neil Honahan on one side, Darragh Burns on the other, and Johnny up front, you've got serious pace in that team.
The importance of the opening game, I think, can't be emphasised enough, the draw against Apoel, because Rovers go down to 10 men with Neil Ferrugia sent off, and there's that late equaliser, and that was seen as, Barry, as a huge, not quite bonus, but like get out of jail card, and like, oh my God, that's an incredible result for Rovers. And I think up till the last few weeks even, when you talk about Irish teams and European football, that's pretty much the height of it. It's like a really good result that we can all look back on in 5 to 10 years' time and say, wasn't that great? But Rovers were in an interesting position from that point on, because their next two games were eminently winnable on paper. So they went up north to play Larne, and they destroyed Larne. And then they played TNS at home, the Welsh side. And they kind of struggled for sections of that game. TNS went 1-0 up, but they showed their class and eventually got over that. So there, in two of the three games, you're seeing both sides of a typical Irish team. You have the mentality and the work rate and the commitment, and then the skill level. And then I think to go to Rapid Vienna, be 1-0 down at half time, and to come back and draw that game 1-1. Like, Barry, I'm looking at those results, not really the Barrett's game last night, where despite them being Bosnian champions, they were by far second best.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all feared for Rovers in that Apoel game when they went 1-0 down. They were a quality side. But if you look throughout the kind of games, Borash went to Apoel and beat them 1-0 away, and then went to Vikingur, the team Rovers beat, and got beaten 2-0 away. So it's just all over shop, but it's consistency Rovers found in those two games, as you said, that maybe Irish teams have struggled over the years. When I was playing for Bowes, obviously went to TNS and we got battered over there. You know, it's just, they've taken that kind of Irish mentality of staying in the game, winning the battle early on, which they've done because they've been disrespected by teams as well. When you look at Riera, when he came over here with Celje.
Yes.
Totally disrespected Rovers. Like, gave Graham Burke the freedom of the pitch, and you saw what he could do in that game and up in Windsor Park as well. And Rovers have caught a couple of teams on the hop now, but they're not taking anyone for granted now. No teams are taking Rovers for granted coming into these latter stages.
What's the difference in Rovers this year in Europe compared to last? Because it was such a disappointing campaign last time around that it felt like Stephen Kenny wasn't even picking his strongest side at times because of the schedule. And the schedule obviously favours him so much more now and there being a big break. We had a comment about it earlier. Is it actually benefiting Rovers that they have all this time to prepare for games? Is that it? Is that fundamentally the difference that the schedule is kinder to Rovers in 2024 than it was in the previous year? Or is there a change in system that you're noticing implemented by Bradley?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. The change in system as well, the kind of 3-5-1-1 or 3-5-2, whatever way you want to look at it. But it's just the players they have. As Ashley said earlier, look at the players coming off the bench. Like, Graham Burke doesn't get a minute on the pitch last night. You're bringing Jack Byrne, his player of the year a couple of years ago, on for the last 10 minutes to shore up a game. Dylan Watts has been phenomenal. Players have just stepped forward. And you look at even Marcus Poom. He wasn't in the team in the summer. He looked like, oh, maybe he might go. In the summer now, he's looking to, maybe he's going to tie down a new contract. He's been phenomenal the last couple of games. And it's just those players that you have to replace, players, because Rovers have had a serious injury list this year and they've just had pure quality all over the pitch. And you look at that back three has been so solid. But what they've done is they've kind of compacted that middle area with that three centre half kind of positions. The balls aren't getting threaded down through the middle anymore. When you look at those games in Ferencvaros the last couple of seasons, they threaded balls through. They were so easy to play against Rovers. They forced them out wide now. They conceded 94, 95 corners in Europe, which is phenomenal, you know, in 10 games. But what they've done is force them to go wide, try and get crosses in, stop the crosses, and are willing to defend the corners. And it's really worked.